Hey, folks, this is Hannes Finney from the Storyworthy Podcast, and we want to thank you for your support. We want to thank you for listening. And you know what? The only way for us to grow is for you to tell your friends, tell your family, tell people you don't even like. We need you to get the word out there about Storyworthy. And we thank you.
We thank you.
We thank you.
This episode of Storyworthy is brought to you by GoDaddy. You know, GoDaddy has everything you need to put your business out there and kick ass online. So get started by registering a domain name and creating your website with GoDaddy's easy-to-use website builder. Already have a site? Well, keep it running fast with GoDaddy's web hosting. Visit GoDaddy.com, enter the promo code STORY32, and save 32% on new purchases. Some limitations apply. See website for details. And remember, enter the promo code STORY32 and you are supporting Storyworthy.
This is Jennifer Valley and you're listening to Storyworthy, the best podcast in the world.
Welcome to the Storyworthy Podcast. Here are your hosts, Christine Blackburn and Hannes Finney.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I am here alone. That's right, Hannes Finney, my dear co-host, could not be with us tonight. But never fear, dear audience. We are here with Anthony Bench, who's helping us out with sound today. Hey, Anthony.
Hi.
See that? He's here. And our guest tonight, you guys, a favorite of the show. She's been on the show, I don't know, 4, 7, 9 times? Her name is Jennifer Valley. And boy, oh boy, does she have a story for us tonight. The topic is My Lesbian Summer on FM Radio. My Lesbian Summer on FM Radio. There's a lot of nouns in there, a lot of adjectives. But let me break it down. Here's what she's talking about, you guys. She's talking about those ridiculous morning zoo radio guys, right? They're all over the country. Man Cow was really big. These guys in Philadelphia, every city has them. And what they do is they have people call in. And we used to call it clams because I used to do it too. And basically, they're actors and actresses, most people living in LA. And they are wrangled by, like, I don't know, I'm going to call them a clam wrangler. That's what I'm going to call them. And he basically gives you a topic. And then, well, I used to do Man Cow all the time in Chicago. So my phone would ring at about 4:30 a.m. and I would get put on hold right away. It would be a producer put me on hold and I would hear the Man Cow show going on. And then after I'd be on hold for anywhere from 3 minutes to 25 minutes, you know, the DJs would come on the air. Man Cow would come on the air and he'd say, hey, giving a shout out now to Karen Bling, who's calling us from Daytona Beach, Florida. Karen, what's going on with your kids? And that would create this ridiculous scenario that was given to me. For instance, one time my scenario was I was so poor and I was such a bad mother that what I would do is I would go to a fast food restaurant or a smorgasbord. I think you call it a smorgasbord or board. Yep. And eat as much as I could, come home, vomit in a bucket, and feed it to my children. Okay, that was my story. So now I'm in Los Angeles sleeping in my bedroom, and for $50, the phone rings. I answer it. I stay on hold. Often I would fall asleep on hold. I'm not going to lie to you. And that, you know, wait for my prompt, and then I'd go into the story. And the more hits you got, the more phone calls you got to call in on that, then the more valuable you were to Man Cow. And so, for instance, I think my highest call volume, I got 26 calls on one of my stories because you wanted to tell the story. And then Man Cow would say, you know, we'll be right back after the big hand sweeps the hour, quarter clock and the traffic and the time and the clock and how much, you know. And then he would come back on. And in that time period, all these people would have called in. And so he'd be, you know, the board is lighting up. Everybody wants to talk to Karen Bling in Daytona Beach, you know, Florida, and find out why she's feeding her children regurgitated fast food. Karen, what do you have to say to that? So it was almost like what Phil Hendry does, where he sets up, you know, the scenario of people calling in and getting, you know, enticing people to call in on a crazy person. But it was like, you know, we were actors and actresses doing it. So Jennifer Valley, our guest tonight, she has her topic, My Lesbian Summer on FM Radio, I believe has to do with, in fact, calling on these shows and being the, you know, the lesbian. I don't know. We'll hear about it from Jennifer herself. But before we bring up our storyteller, folks, I did want to remind you that you can hear Storyworthy on Stitcher.com. I think we all know this now. Am I right, Anthony?
Yep.
Everybody knows you can go to Stitcher.com. It's a free app. It's a very easy way to listen to Storyworthy. So we appreciate if you head over there and do that. Also, if you would like to support the show, and boy, I'll tell you something, you guys, that would be very nice. Storyworthy is funded by listeners like you. So if you want to donate to us, please feel free. Go over to StoryworthyPodcast.com and click on Donate. It's just that simple. Also, now we have a PayPal monthly donation button, and that helps us out a lot. For as little as $5, you are certainly helping Hannes and I out. Also, folks, you can email us here over at info@storyworthypodcast.com. We always love to hear from you guys. And why not head on over to iTunes and leave us a good review? The reviews are crazy talk. Why do you read the reviews, Christine? Because I'm crazy. That's why. But, you know, it helps if you write a nice review. And if you don't like the show, why are you listening to my voice right now? Honestly, people, you have a choice. You have the power. All right, you guys, wherever you are, stay tuned because Jennifer Valley is on her way here.
All right, listen up, you guys. You've heard about this. Adam Carolla is leading the fight against patent trolls who want to claim podcast technology as their own. They're trying to assert themselves as the owner of the patent of podcasting. It's important for Storyworthy and all the podcasts because if Adam goes down, we all go down. It's domino theory, just like Vietnam. So please visit fundanything.com/patent troll and give anything that you can.
And right now, as an incentive, if you donate $100, you can be on the Storyworthy podcast to tell your own true story. Head on over to fundanything.com/patent troll and we appreciate your support.
Next week on Storyworthy, we have filmmaker Vito Lapicola.
And I'm going to be talking about how Elmore Leonard saved my life.
That's next week on Storyworthy.
This is Frank Nicotero, and you're listening to Storyworthy. You know that.
All right, you guys, we're back here at Sideshow Network. I am joined by Anthony Bench, who's helping me on sound today. And in studio is Jennifer Valley. Oh, what a lovely girl. She is funny and she is talented. She's a comedy writer, a stand-up comedian, and a producer. Jennifer has worked in so many genres on television, it absolutely cracks me up. She has worked on, you know, game shows, variety shows, talk shows, reality television, web series, all sorts of things. If you need something written for the television, this is who you call. You call the Jennifer Valley. You can find her on Twitter at Jennifer Valley. That's Jennifer, and then Valley is V-A-L-L-Y. There's no E. That's how they get you. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for Jennifer Valley.
Yay! Jennifer Valley's here! Yippee! Yay! Well, my story today is called My Lesbian Summer. And let me just start off by saying this story is not really as erotic or exotic as it sounds, but you may be titillated. Back in the late 90s, I was a single mother with two little kids, and I had made a vow that I would only work in show business. I had, you know, paid my dues for years and years, and I'd been working as a waitress forever, and I thought, I am never going to get out of this circle unless I just stop doing everything but working in show business. So that was a vow I made. No matter how remote, how far out of show business that job was, I was bound and determined to work only in show business. So I was doing stand-up comedy in the late 90s, and a female comic I knew, said she started making a lot of money pretending she was a sex surrogate on the radio. And she was making pretty good cash. And I was like, oh my God, I'd love to get in on this. And she goes, well, believe it or not, the guy is looking for other girls to help with this venture. And I went, oh my God, let me in. So she took me up to meet this guy, and he lived, you know those houses you see on the top of Malibu when you're driving down Las Virgenes or Canaan or something, and you go, who the hell lives, who can afford to live on that house, literally on top of the hill? Well, it's people in porn, basically. Porn and soft porn. I mean, that's all can really afford those big houses. So this guy, his name is Michael. He had this huge, beautiful home on the very top of a mountain in Malibu. And his job was selling
what he called educational sexual videos. So his girlfriend was going by the name of Natasha, and she billed herself as a sex therapist. My friend, the other female comic, she was billed as a surrogate. So what they would do, they had an agent, and they would do all these radio shows. And how us girls got paid is we got paid $5 for every video that was sold while we were on the air. $5. That sounds like a lot, right? And it was. The videos were $39. It was like ridiculous. And so I went up there, and his girlfriend, she was really sexy. And they were telling me that she would go on these radio shows either in person or, you know, in studio, and she could sell literally like 500 videos in one day. That's $2,500. I'm like, single mom, ka-ching, ka-ching, let me in on that. My friend was the surrogate, and she was doing pretty good too. Now, they were trying to come up with an angle for me based on tapes that he already had, right? So he had a bunch of, like, kind of softcore lesbian porn. So the angle we finally came up with is that I was going to pretend I was in the video, or if I went in studio, I obviously wasn't in it. I would say I was the producer and the director. So that was it. The first thing I had to do was come up with a name, right? Because I didn't want to use my real name. I'd be too embarrassed. So I was trying to think, all right, I'm playing a lesbian, you know, and I didn't want to be too out there. So I gave myself the name Jennifer Leslie. It's like so silly. And there was a couple of reasons I did that. Number one, at the time, I'm dating myself, but there was a porn actor named John Leslie. And I thought, oh, you know, that's kind of, you know, maybe that's kind of something. And then when I was kids, we used to always make jokes, lesbian friends, homo you don't. You know, so I thought Jennifer Leslie was kind of a good name and it would be easy to remember. So they started booking me, and just like Christine said, most of the shows are on the East Coast. So literally, I would be getting calls at 4:30 in the morning because all these morning zoo DJs, they want to have this controversial stuff at prime time, which is like drive time, 7:30 to 8:30. So, you know, I had two little kids, so I'd literally be sitting in the kitchen floor, you know, really quiet with pillows around me, you know, waiting for them to call me, you know. And it was ridiculous. And I dealt with every morning, wacky morning crew. There was the morning tradition, the morning madhouse, the morning zoo, you know, Wang and Wild, and, you know, oh, my God, all this stuff. So I had to start coming up with a backstory because not only was I trying to sell these videos, by the way, the video was called How to Please a Woman by the Woman, by a woman, How to Please a Woman by a Woman. And the first one was two gals, you know, and he just kept, this guy Michael on the company just kept changing titles, you know, on videos he already had with lesbians, you know. So the first one was How to Please a Woman by a Woman. It was two women, and I would pretend on the phone that I was the brunette. And the blonde in it was actually this woman named Lydia Long, who was a 94 Playboy centerfold. So I would pretend that, you know, I had this whole ridiculous, how did you become a lesbian, you know? So my story was, how did I become a lesbian? When was your first experience, Jennifer Leslie? And I'd say the same story. Well, it was when I was 14. And this is the story I'd always tell. When I was 14, the thing to do in middle school was to give your boyfriend a hickey. And I had a girlfriend that said, oh, my God, wouldn't it be embarrassing if we didn't know how to give a hickey right? So let's practice on each other. So she started sucking on my neck, and my story was, oh, my God, you know, sparks and fireworks. But actually, I told them also on the radio, my first sexual experience was with a man. And then when I was, this is my whole backstory now. Okay, you got my backstory. So when I was 21, I'd tell him I had my first experience with a woman who was an older woman, a married woman who taught me everything I knew. So then, you know, that was my whole backstory. And so every day I'd call literally 3 or 4 calls. But the problem was I was so nervous at first. I was selling literally 5 to 10 videos. 20 was the most I ever did at one show. And I was like, oh, I'm not making money, you know. So the next step was, well, you got to go on the road, girl. You got to get in those studios and really, you know, sell this thing. And I was like, oh my God, but I'm not in the video, you know? And the truth is I'd never even seen the videos. I was just selling them. I didn't care what was in them. You know, I just was trying to titillize, you know, just trying to make everything sound so sexy. So they'd call me up. And the most important thing I had to do was get out my 800 number. I had to give that out as many times as I could because there was no website for this thing. You know, it was like kind of pre-website. So it was 800-636-9293. I had, you know, some of the DJs were super nice. They knew that I was trying to sell these videos. They dealt with my agent before and these other girls. So they would plug it. But sometimes some of these morning zoo guys were so nasty and trying to talk over me that I'd be like, hey, if you want it, you know, call this number. So my story was, I was a lipstick lesbian, you know, as you could tell by the cover. And when it was the three girls, there was a blonde, brunette, and a redhead, I'd always say, I'm the redhead. And my joke was, the carpet matches the drapes. You know, that was just one of the jokes I would always do. And they'd say, you know, what else is in there? Is it instructional? I'd say, yeah. You know, I made this video, I'd tell them, for couples that are having a little dull sex life. And, you know, guys always think if they do it longer, harder, and faster, they're pleasing their women. But if you watch this, you can get turned on. You know, the first few times you watch it, you'll probably just polish your German helmet. That was my big line that got them all laughing, you know. And but then after a while, you'll learn a few tricks. And I'd say, oh, yes, you know, and I point to the right parts, not necessarily with my finger. You know, I was just trying to be, you know, a nasty girl. And then after a while, I really started getting into it. And some of these calls would only be like, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I swear to God, I got a call. I was listening to him yesterday, X96 in Salt Lake City with Terry, Bill, and Regina. They literally had me on for an hour, and they had people call, nonstop people calling, all these repressed men saying, oh, my God, my wife keeps telling me she wants to bring a woman in, or she's telling me I'm not doing, I mean, literally all these very serious people. I'm like, oh, my God, I want to give you the video. I felt so bad for you. But after a while, I felt like, oh, my God, I really feel like I'm some kind of sexual therapist. And the funny thing with that is the girl that was playing the sex therapist, you know, the boyfriend of the producer, actually went out and got a sex therapist license after, you know, doing all this fake, because it's the same thing. You feel like, oh, my God, I got to really help some of these people, you know. So I went on the road. And then I also had to tell the story. How did you meet your girlfriend? And I'd say, well, we actually met through a man. We met through a man, and he asked for a three-way, and then me and her ended up together, and I stole her away, and he just sat there with this thing in his hand the whole time, you know. And that's how I got her to change over. That's how I did it, with my magical ways, my magical tongue. So I ended up on every big radio show in the country. I did the Motor City Madman, Ted Nugent. I did Man Cow. I even did Ryan Seacrest. I went in studio. I did Ryan Seacrest. He must have been a kid then because it was like the late 90s. I can't imagine that he's – I don't know how old he is, but anyway. So I had to go on the road, they said. Well, I had little kids, and I really didn't want to leave them, you know. My husband was having problems. So I had to leave him with his sister, and I was gone for a month. And I was driving all the way across the country, literally all the way across the country. I started in Los Angeles. Went to Phoenix, El Paso, Austin, Houston, Dallas, New Orleans, 10 cities in Florida, including Miami, Fort Lauderdale, St. Pete, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville. Then went up the coast to Charlotte and, you know, Atlanta and Baltimore and Hartford. I did all these cities, and I really didn't want to drive alone. So I asked a comic to go with me, and you probably know who it is. I don't know if I should say his name. But anyway, Julian Jones. Anyway, I took Julian Jones with me. He wasn't my boyfriend. I just didn't really want to travel alone. And the cool thing was the agent for the radio, you know, for this porn tapes, softcore porn, sorry, sensual educational videos. That's what I called them, sensual educational videos. That's how I was trying to sell it to the women. You know, it's like, ladies, if you're too shy to tell your man what you like, you can just pop in this video. And when the part comes in you like, you just point and say, do that, do that. So I had to go on the road, but the cool thing was the agent would book me in the comedy club the night before. So I was performing at every big club in the country. You know, in El Paso, I did like the comedy, I did every one, but I had to go on as Jennifer Leslie. So it was the worst stand-up ever because I had to pretend I was this lesbian and try to do jokes. I even did a lesbian night one night. I'm like, why am I, this is ridiculous. Just to get people to listen to the radio show the next day, they'd book me in these comedy clubs. So, you know, and then after, so I went all the way across the country and I wasn't making, you know, I was told that if I went on the road, I would sell 500 tapes a day. Well, I ended up selling like maybe anywhere between 20 and 100 a day, which is not a lot of money when you're missing your kids. The worst was when I got to Florida. I was in Miami, and they have a huge audience, and the show went great. And the DJs there did not have the video yet, so they hadn't seen it. And I was talking about it. They're going, oh, my God, that sounds so great. And I was telling the story. I get home, and my manager calls me and says, oh, my God, the phones are down and no calls are getting through. I was about to kill myself. I'm missing my kids and now I'm not making any money. So I called, he fixed it, and I called the radio station the next day. And you know how you're on hold while they're talking. I could hear them saying, oh, we got the tape. This thing wouldn't make a 13-year-old boy hard is exactly what the DJ said. Oh, my God. I went, oh, no, I'll never sell a tape again. Well, so then, because I had a trunk full of these tapes that I was giving away at the stations, you know, for them to give away to their listeners, and I looked at the three-way tape. It was, oh, I was so embarrassed that I was pushing this thing. I mean, the one with the two girls was actually like they liked each other, you know, and they were like getting into it. This one with the three girls, the blonde, brunette, and the redhead, literally were in hot tubs kissing like I have never kissed a girl in my life and don't want to. You know, I mean, it was like, you know, this weird kind of not, they were topless, yes, and if you just like topless girls in a hot tub, but the scenes together were so unnatural and so, it literally would not get a 13, well, maybe a 13-year-old boy, but this DJ was right. And it was so, so embarrassing, and I was just heartbroken. And after the month, I ended up with like $3,000. That was it. Because I had to pay my own hotel, my own gas, you know, all that food, and I was paying for Julian as well because, you know, he was kind of like my road companion, so I didn't have to drive all that way by myself. And that's when I decided I don't need to be a lesbian anymore. And now to wrap up my story, I'd like you to hear in person, well, actually on tape, Jennifer Leslie in action.
Jennifer Leslie, who stars in the video or is the co-star, so you've got to have two, How to Give Pleasure to a Woman by a Woman, the erotic at its best, Explore the Passions of Two Women, it's called, and she is an extremely hot, now would you call yourself redhead, Jennifer?
Yes, I would, and I'm also what you call a lipstick lesbian.
Yeah, you're right, a lipstick lesbian and not a, I guess,
diesel dyke.
Right,
a lipstick lesbian is a woman with that looks like a woman, as opposed to with plaid and boys' regular haircut. You know.
Now you can order this video at 1-800-636-9293, and we'll get into more of that later. Mm. Before we get into the lesbianism,
that is such a wonderful story, Jennifer.
No,
wait, just to pick up from the very end, $3,000 in a month after expenses isn't that bad.
It isn't, except when you're expecting $10,000.
I see, right.
You know what I mean? And
I left
my kids, and I was like, I was so sad every day that I, because they were literally little.
Sure, sure. And who was with them? Your ex-husband's sister. Right,
yeah.
And she's a good person,
yes,
I assume.
Yes,
so that's good to know.
Yeah.
And so, what made you think that you shouldn't have looked at the video before you went on the road?
I saw the cover, you know, and I went, I don't know why.
How long was it? Do you remember?
Well, I knew that the length was on the box. I knew it was an hour long.
Oh, that's a good length.
So I always say, you know, oh, and that was another line I'd say. It's an hour long, it's $39, and it'll come to your house in a brown paper wrapper. So if you're embarrassed, you don't even have to worry about it. And ladies, you don't have to go into a porno shop or a video store. You can just have it come to your home.
Right.
Sneak it in.
Pause the video. Do that.
Exactly.
See, I think that sounds like a sort of a good idea.
Oh, no, it was when he was pitching the two.
Right.
But what he did, this guy that owned the company, he just literally would make new covers with different kind of semi-
different fonts and different titles.
Yeah, so he would take, oh, I first did it with these two girls, and then he had one with three girls. So he would just have these massive amount of tapes that he wanted to get rid of.
Isn't that amazing that
so he would just retitle them?
People don't know this. Most consumers out in America, they don't realize how slimy producers can be.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy. I mean, he literally had probably, you know, 1,000 of these videos with the three girls that wouldn't sell because they were so, you know, not erotic.
You were sort of like a fluffer on the show. You know, just you were talking about trying to entice everybody
to buy the tape. Yeah, so that's why I do all these little, and you know, hey, ladies, you know, and I know you're too shy, but this will help you.
Well, you know, have you seen that show on Showtime called Masters of Sex?
Not yet, but it's really about Masters and Johnson,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, and it's really interesting, you know, how they started educating people about the clitoris, namely.
Right, because
people didn't know.
Yeah, and women
people
were too shy to
you
say it.
This was on Masters of Sex in the pilot, was that men would just like basically hump on a woman's back, Anthony, and just like take her from behind, and he would say, "This is the quickest way, darling," you know, so get it out, you know. And there was no thought of that she could even have an orgasm.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to do.
You had a service. Yeah, in your mind, you thought, you know, I'm a woman, I have some knowledge, and I'm going to
pass this on through this videotape.
Had you looked at the tape, your decision may have been different.
Right, because I saw the two.
Right.
You know, when I had done the radio ones, it was just the two girls, and it really did have stuff in it.
You've said that like 4 or 5 times now. How much you like the two.
It was, because it was like, I mean, if you're going to say, you know, here's women liking each other and doing things and point, it was like more, I hate to say clinical, but it was more like, here's, you know,
right.
Here's the vagina, go to 1 o'clock. You know, if you look at the face of the vagina, hit one, you know.
Right. And now, when you did the comedy and you would do the clubs before the radio show in the morning, even though you were acting as Jennifer Leslie, which, by the way, stupidest name.
it's
just so dumb. I mean, because you've done like Crystal Chandelier, something sort of enticing.
I just was afraid. I said, I have to use my real first name. So somewhere along
you'll
the line,
confused.
I'll get
you'll
all
get
confused.
Tripped up.
It's like, who am I?
Did it help your stand-up? Even though you weren't in person, even though you weren't in your who you are.
Yeah, I mean, I got to perform in all these big clubs, which was awesome. The only thing that was really awkward is when I did the lesbian show in Houston.
Because you're a liar.
I was a liar. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so unauthentic, you know? And it was like, oh my God. And I had a horrible set too, because I felt amongst all these lesbians, I felt like a fraud, you know?
Well, you were.
I was. And I was embarrassed for myself.
But as an actress and as somebody who comes out to LA and really does try everything, I've done so many things. You just take chances and you try. I mean, I did Man Cow, like I said, for like 2 years, making these ridiculous phone calls. I mean, I never went out on the road, but I could have seen myself doing that. Now, I didn't have a child then.
Yeah, it's a lot different when you have to leave.
Could
you imagine going away for a month now and leaving your daughter
behind? I was recently had to leave town for 7 days, and I came back, and my child hadn't had a bath in 3 or 4 days and was full of lice. So, yeah, I don't want to leave. It's not a good idea.
No, you don't. But I kept thinking, I need money. And my whole thing was, I'm going to come back like a millionaire. You know, I'm going to come back with a big chunk
of change. Well, you know, you were sold a bill of goods. And I've been down that path as well with some different things where you think it's going to be ka-ching, ka-ching. And that's just not the way it works.
It really does.
I had that experience with audiobooks, narrating audiobooks.
Oh, you were telling me
about that. I still do narrate audiobooks. But, you know, in the beginning, and I don't know why people who are in LA, maybe all over the world, of course, if you're a talent, you think, well, I believe these people because I am talented and they will pay me. But really, if you think about it, who the fuck knows Christine Blackburn to do this goddamn, narrate this audiobook that is self-published? You know, 10 people bought the book. One person may look at the audiobook, but probably not purchase it. So the time that goes into it is really, but again, so let me ask you that. And I've also done things like I've taught improv traffic school. I gave tours around Hollywood.
Well, I would consider the fringes of show business.
This is what I do.
So that was my thing. I'm only going to work in show business, as weird as this was.
The guy that picks up the elephant shit at the circus.
That's the fringes of show business.
That's what I'm talking about.
The only time I really got a little worried, not really worried, is I was in Tampa Bay with Bubba the Love Sponge, who is, you know, he couldn't be bigger if he tried. He just sits there like Jabba the Hutt. He probably weighs 500 pounds.
Gross.
And he's going on and on how he knows how to please women and all the sex stuff. So I have to sit there and listen. And he's like, hey, some of my lesbian friend and listeners should come down and meet Jennifer. I'm like, oh, great.
Yeah,
you know, now
that's
I'm
going
to have to make
thing.
Out on.
Do you remember that DJ named Tom Likas?
Of course. Yeah,
he is like one of the most repulsive human beings to look at. And he would talk about him and women. And it's just like,
all the time,
you are
right?
in your fucking head, man. Like, what are you talking
right.
about?
I think he'd been married like 5 times.
Oh, at least. And then he's talking about, you know, like is 101. And you're going to learn my
don't
skills.
Spend more than $40 on a woman.
Yeah. And she's not going to sleep with you on the first day. She's not going to put out ever. You know? So gross. I'm so happy he's not working. Maybe he is. I don't know.
But then everybody was, I did hundreds of these calls, they would all say, have you done Man Cow yet? Have you done Man Cow yet? And I'd say no. And they go, oh, he's gonna rake you over the coals. He was actually one of the nicest guys. He was
no
all,
kidding.
You know, he was like, yeah, let's.
He played a lot. He was professional.
Right. And he threw out my number a bunch of times.
Yeah. I never was on a paper. I mean, I got more jobs if I got more calls in, but I wasn't on a call per basis.
Yeah, five.
Getting people to call in.
$5, yeah.
So
$5
I didn't have that much.
Yeah, mine was $5 a tape, so I had to get that number out.
$5 a tape does sound like a good number.
It does, especially when, you know, I was hearing that, you know, Natasha, the fake therapist, was selling up to $500 a show.
By the way, when picking a porn name, I remember at one point when, like, the internet was new, it was advantageous to use an A name, like Anna, Abby, Ava.
Oh, why?
Because when guys go to porn sites, the names of the girls are usually alphabetical. And so they start with the A's. So I'm just throwing that out to you, you know, if you need any.
Oh, yeah.
You can use that, you know.
Yeah,
if you ever changed.
Didn't it used to be like, what was it, your street, or what was the combo?
It was your pet's first, your first pet's name and the street you grew up on, or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Mine was
like,
Fluffy Grove.
That's actually not a bad one at all.
Listen, let me ask you, what would you tell your daughters, because they're in their 20s, aren't they, or they're late
teens?
Well,
yeah, I have one in 20 and one that's 22.
And so if they go into show business, and of course everybody starts from the bottom up, even if you have show business parents, doesn't mean you're getting anywhere.
Right.
So everybody kind of has to go through their steps. And they were to look into something like this, and they think, you know, it's harmless because it's just a phone call, or you maybe not go on the road the way you did, but what would you say to them?
Well, I wouldn't discourage it. I mean, I encourage them to be artistic. I'm not one of these moms that like, oh, you gotta, you know, get a law degree or this. I encourage creativity in them, and that makes for a better, well-rounded person. And I think, you know, it was harmless enough. You know, they
sure.
weren't. It's not really having sex with someone. It's not really being that. It's like acting. So I don't think it would be that bad as long as she didn't go in the studio. In fact, when I was leaving today, my daughter's like, what story are you telling? I said, no, I'm talking about my lesbian summer. She's like, what?
Yeah, horrified.
She didn't remember. She was, what? You know, you were.
So said, have no, you no. ever had a lesbian experience?
I actually haven't.
You haven't? Interesting.
No, not really. I mean, kind of a long time ago in the theater group I was in.
Group doesn't count because everybody makes out.
Yeah, in college.
That's why you're in a theater group.
We would do this thing after every show called Irish Spring where we'd all get naked and take a big shower together.
Oh, sure.
But it was more like groups.
What?
Yeah, we called it Irish Spring and we'd all just take showers. But it was more like a group thing, guys with girls.
They call it an orgy, Jennifer.
Yeah, they're called
usually.
Orgies. But we just called it Irish Spring just to be nice, you know, because we were bathing. So... and there was a few girls that would hook up there, so I'd been very close to it.
Right.
But I actually have never.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to a completion situation.
Yeah.
But I had a great, I had a good experience in Australia once. I'd gone to Australia for about a month with my buddy Dave Caprita, but Dave and I were just friends. He was another flight attendant, and we would travel together to many places because you fly free and you need somebody to fly with you. And so we were in Australia, and Dave and I were such just friends. He would, if we had a hostel situation, like if you were staying in a youth hostel that was only one bed in the room, he would literally put pillows between us. Like, he was so fucking panicked to touch me. I was like, you're so...
Yeah, settle down, dude.
Yeah, please. Yeah. He's like my brother. He was so freaked out.
Uh-huh.
So he wasn't... We were just friends. So, but I met this girl named Monique. Well, we went... Dave and I went to Byron Bay. Have you heard of Byron Bay?
No, but I love the name Monique already. I'm intrigued.
Byron Bay is a place in Australia on the easterly side of Australia. You go there for a week and then you stay a month is what happens.
Oh, is that awesome?
It's a real hippie town that you just... And we stayed at the Arts Factory, which is... you could stay, you can either sleep in a teepee, a hammock, or like, you know, a shelter, some sort of other shelter.
Kwanzaa hut or something.
Some sort of hut, right. Or like over the water, like a houseboat. And we stayed in a teepee, you know, for a week. And I met this girl, Monique, and she was English. Mm. Yeah, and she was very beautiful. And she, one time I remember we would hitchhike a lot in Australia. I don't know. Do they still do that, Anthony? They hitchhike in Australia? Anthony doesn't know. But we did, and often I would think, you know, well, we're either going to go to some really cool tourist destination or a shallow grave.
Yeah,
but either way, new experience, you know. And that was what happened with Monique, you know. It rained a few days, as it will, and we played a lot of ping pong at the Arts Factory and drank a lot of beer. And then, you know, Monique and I had some, you know, but it never...
Did you just make
out? We just made up.
She
was gay. I was not, but again,
did she let you know, like, right away that she was, or how'd you find out?
You could just tell, because she was.
She just had a vibe about her?
Yeah, she was, for sure. Anyway, we had a really great time, but then we left Byron Bay, and I was stuck with fucking Dave. So that happened. Anyway, so listen, tell me about what's going on with you right now, Jennifer.
Well, I'm going to be on TV on Tuesday.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yay!
What are you doing?
I'm on Nuvo TV. Well, it'll be too late by the time this watch airs, so people can
go
back.
But we go on YouTube, on Nuvo.
Or you can go to Nuvo TV, their website, and watch it there. Nuvo TV is...
How much time?
This summer, I told you I went to the Cabo Comedy Festival.
Right, in Mexico. I want to go next year so much.
Yeah, you got to go.
I will.
I don't care.
I heard you went skinny dipping.
Yes, it was so fun. But anyway... They shot this show called Stand Up and Deliver. They did 40 episodes in Cabo while we were there. So each episode had four comics. So there was 40 comics. My episode is me, a girl named Delaney Fisher, a fairly new comic, Frank Nicotero.
Oh, I love Frank.
Yeah, I've worked with him like 5 times. Yeah. And Carlos Alizraki is the
headliner. Oh, wow, sure.
So my episode airs on Tuesday, March 4th at 10 o'clock. It's called Stand Up and Deliver
I'm so excited.
I'm on TV.
And yeah, Carlos Alizraki, you know, he was the voice of the Taco Bell guy.
Yes, he was.
Yo Quiero Taco Bell.
And he was also Junior on Reno 911.
I remember him buying a new Cadillac, Cadillac convertible with that Taco Bell money. That's what I remember.
Why wouldn't he?
I know.
Are you kidding me? He was a spokes dog for many, many years.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, good for him, right?
Yeah, and I met him a long time ago because I used to write for Stephanie Miller. And
she's very talented.
Yeah, she is.
Whatever happened to her? What's she doing?
She still has a thing. In fact, she's doing stand-up now with John Fugelsang. I think they're called the Liberal Tour or something.
Oh, great.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
She has a radio show. She still does.
Good, good.
She finally came out. I guess
I
could say that.
Right?
You know.
Yeah, no, she did, right?
Yeah, when she was 50. I knew she would probably...
50 years old.
Well, I think she was waiting for her mother to die.
Oh, wow, that's intense.
Interesting story about Stephanie Miller is her father, William Miller, was Barry Goldwater's running mate for president.
Amazing.
In like 64 or something.
Miller, interesting.
Yeah, or wow. William Miller, yeah. William.
Yeah, interesting.
So
well, I think it's exciting, the people that do come out, obviously. Ellen Page recently came out, and how encouraging for other, you know, for younger people to see people of strength and, you know, whatever, a certain amount of fame or, you know, just to come out and say, what's the big deal here, people?
There really is no big deal.
It's the craziest thing, isn't it?
What the deal is. But this Arizona thing is like.
Well, how about Uganda? Uganda.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
And
a lot of that.
You will go to jail for life if you're gay.
Yeah, you will. And a lot of that, I understand, is, you know, American evangelists going over there and putting the word out there. And they're the, you know, a lot of Americans are behind.
That makes so much sense.
This anti-homosexual thing. Yeah, it's super crazy, isn't it?
Oh, I can't even believe it.
I can't even imagine
it. Like 20 years from now, this will be such a non-issue.
I know. It'll be like, you know, you were a racist? Like, what? What do you mean? Yeah. You didn't let him drink out of your water fountain.
You mean black people couldn't vote till the
60s? It would just blow people's mind. Women didn't vote. What are you saying?
Yeah.
Women didn't drive? I mean, it would just, it's so archaic. Although, in other parts of the world, you know, look at Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
Illegal to drink. Cannot drink. Cannot drink alcohol.
Crazy.
Crazy. Cannot have premarital sex in a lot of countries. What would we do then? We're not married.
People do it anyway. They just lie.
I know.
And
am I
sneak
right?
It.
Are
Come
right?
on.
I know.
Be serious.
Hey, Jennifer, you want to play some Shotgun Storyworthy?
Oh, sure. Why not?
That music
can only mean one thing. It's time for Shotgun Storyworthy.
The game where our storyteller spins the Storyworthy Wheel of Truth and tells a true one-minute story about the topic it lands on.
So everybody, say it with me.
Spin that wheel!
I got vacation. All righty. All right. So 3 years ago, my daughter went to England to study abroad. So I went with her with my other daughter, and they had a bunch of friends there. So they did all their stuff, kind of left me alone. So I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do with myself for the day? And I'm kind of a political junkie. So I literally went to Parliament and sat in on a session of the House of Lords. I just sat there, you know, and I was like, oh, it's so interesting with some women's issue. And this guy came up to me. His name was Barry, and he was a tour guide or a guard or something. And he saw me by myself, and he talked to me, and he came up to me afterwards, and he goes, oh, I'd love to take you around, you know, and to a pub and show you around and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't. And I feel so bad that I didn't. I should have went with Barry.
That's a great story. That's a great story. You should have gone with him, you know?
I know.
It could have been like my Monique situation.
Yeah. I mean, he was an older guy, so I was like, but, you know.
How much older?
You know, he was like, they usually probably...
Was he Richard Gere older?
No.
Was he Liam Neeson older?
He was probably more like a docent. You know, like at the zoo, they have older people that, you know...
I don't care for that.
It was a little more like that.
I don't care for that.
He was probably a retiree that was, you know...
Working for free.
Yeah, doing the tours.
I have no interest
stuff.
In that. No interest in
that. But, anyway, he took me into the place where the queen sits because no one was there, and he liked me, and he opened the door, and he let me sit on the throne, and it was like, holy shit.
Are you kidding me?
Yes.
That's a riot.
Because no one was there. He goes, come on in and look.
What a great idea. What a great idea to walk into Parliament like that.
Yeah, well, they have open sessions for the public.
I actually got to take a tour of the White House, and I got to sit, at the time it was Clinton, I sat in Clinton's chair, also got to sit in the cabinet room and sit in all the different chairs there, and acted like an idiot running around the White House.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's not mature, but it's fun.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I'm like, oh, the queen sits there.
Well, thank you again so much for coming on the show. Like I said, you are a sure thing. All right, so folks, we're going to wrap it up right now. I'd like to thank everybody here at Sideshow Network, including Anthony Bench and Sean Merrick, and on behalf of our storytellers tonight, Jennifer Valley and John Thomas Griffith. You know, he's the guy that wrote the theme song, Follow Me. My name is Christine Blackburn saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.